Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning and welcome to Cosmic Influence. We are the show that explores the possibility that ancient civilizations may have been correct in their belief that history moves in a great cycle with high ages of enlightenment and low ages of darkness. My name is Walter Cruttenden, and I'm here along with Jeff Pitino, my co-host, and we'll be exploring some of the myth, folklore, archaeology, astronomy, and thought about this cycle and its causes, including stellar influences. Jeff and I work here in Newport Beach at the Binary Research Institute, and we are an archaeoastronomy think tank. And it's really here we've spent the last several years, 5 or 6 years, researching the binary theory, which is basically the very ancient idea that our sun, like most stars, has a partner star. And it is our orbit around this star that indirectly produces a change in consciousness and the cycles of history that Plato called the Great Year. And almost every ancient culture seemed to have a belief or folklore about this cycle, and there's an increasing amount of scientific evidence that indicates it might be true. So we'll get in and explore some of that evidence.
Hi, I'm Jeff Pitino, and thanks again for joining us. If at any point during the show you'd like more information about the Binary Research Institute, Walter's book, or any of the topics that we're talking about on the show today, please visit us at loststarbook.com or at the Binary Research Institute's website, binaryresearchinstitute.org.
That latter website has a lot of the scientific information about the binary theory, where the first website, Lost Star Book, is just basically about the book and appearances and events and that sort of thing. And speaking of appearances and events, we have our big conference that we're in the planning process for right now, the Conference on Precession and Ancient Knowledge. This will be our third annual event coming up in October, October 14th and 15th. And we're going to hold it this year at UCI, the University of California, Irvine, where we were just there yesterday, testing some of the food and checking out the facilities.
And I'm really excited about the facility we have. Walter, you and I were just there listening to a lecture, like you said yesterday, checking out the sound system, and it's just phenomenal.
Sound is good. The screen is 15 by 15. It's just an excellent room. It holds about 400 people versus last year we could only accommodate about 120, 130 or so. So we're really excited about the event, but the best part about it isn't just the facility, but the guests we'll have. Back again this year will be Graham Hancock, Robert Schock, John Major Jenkins, but we also have quite a number of new speakers coming.
Yeah, and John Daring will be back again this year as well, but I'm really excited. We've got Dr. Jeff Marcy from UC Berkeley, who is arguably one of the foremost astronomers in the world. He is the one who figured out how to find planets around other stars several years ago and is currently the leader in having found them with, I think, over 120.
Yeah, I was just reading about it. Over 120 exosolar planets, these are planets around other stars, have been found so far. And of the first 100, Jeff and his team found 70 of those. And Jeff Pitino and I here, we had the chance to visit with Jeff Marcy at the Keck Telescope in Hawaii a few years ago, and he really knows his stuff.
Yeah, and he is a genuinely nice guy, and he's said he's got a very exciting presentation to be giving at the conference. We also have John Anthony West joining us for the conference this year.
Yes, John's an old friend, and he was on this show a couple episodes ago, and he will be talking about his latest trip to Egypt and some of the evolving thought about ancient Egyptian culture.
And we have Dr. Claude Swanson and John Burke.
John Burke is the author of Seed of Knowledge, Stone of Plenty, and what he's done is he's gone out and looked at over 80 different megalithic sites, pyramids, Avebury, Stonehenge, etc., and he's measured them with electrostatic voltmeters as well as magnetometers, and found out that these aren't just randomly built sites. They tend to be built over magnetic anomalies, or, for example, the stones at Avebury seem to be aligned with one side, the positive side, always facing the same way versus the negative side. Anyway, we have a great lineup for CPAC, and we'll mention a little bit more about that hopefully before the end of the show. But right now, we have to take a break. I'm Walter Cruttenden. This is Jeff Pitino, and we'll be back shortly with our special guest today, Dr. John J. Harper.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with my co-host Jeff Pitino, and we have a special guest today, Dr. John J. Harper. Dr. Harper is the author of the book Transformers.
Shamans of the 21st Century.
And we're just delighted to have him here. He's got quite a range of background. Jeff, can you briefly introduce him here?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Harper is a clinical hypnotherapist, a futurist and research scientist, and a writer with the American Delphi Academy and Reality Press. He's also a former clinical mental health counselor and a veteran of the U.S. Army, serving also as an electronics and computer specialist in avionics, missilery, and nuclear submarines over a two-decade period with the U.S. Department of Defense. So, John, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be with you folks.
So how does one go from a background with the Department of Defense and in mental health counseling to what you do now? That's quite a jump.
I guess the easiest way to say, not very easily. I was a traditional trained scientist working with the Defense Department in Europe and the U.S. I've been in such places closer to you folks, Naval Weapons Center, China Lake, California, the Naval Undersea Warfare Center, Keyport, Washington, worked under the Star Wars program for Ronald Reagan in Huntsville, Alabama, U.S. Army Missile Command, et cetera, et cetera. So I was pretty steeped in the sciences, which means I kind of think through my left hemisphere of my brain more than I do my right. But I had a very shocking experience in June of 1988 that shifted my paradigm. My view of reality suddenly collapsed, and I had to put some pieces back together to really keep my sanity. What happened to me real basically was that I had a good colleague named George Begay, who had been with me, a good friend of mine and my wife's and my kids, for 17 years when he died at age 40, suddenly of a heart attack on his way to work one Monday morning. That was in November 1987. So I went into a normal grief cycle, but this was my dearest friend, and he and I had studied engineering and physics at the University of Alabama in Huntsville together many, many years ago, and he went on to a short but very distinguished career as an optics physicist. His specialty was light. So when he died, I was thrown into a deep sense of remorse and grief, and I put in for a transfer from Huntsville, Alabama to Seattle, Washington area with the Navy, thinking that, you know, a change of scenery might break me out of this lethargy that I was in, this state of depression, actually. Well, everything was kind of quieting down, and I was getting back to a routine as an engineer and with the Navy. And one early morning, about 4 a.m. in June of 1988, suddenly before me was what I came to understand was a holographic projection of my friend George, and he was looking me in the eye and smiling. But here's the
This is when you're awake, room?
Walter, what I thought happened initially was that I was kind of shaking my mind awake from a lucid dream. I mean, it startled me in my consciousness, and I did think that I was dreaming, and I do believe I was in that hypnagogic, hypnopompic state that one gets in as you go to sleep or as you come out of sleep. But it didn't go away. The image intensified and started shimmering in front of me, and it was a three-dimensional holographic form. Now I have words for it. Of course, then, for years I did not have the scientific understanding of what had happened to me. But for our listeners, I can say today that I have a very deep understanding. It has to do with our DNA and the fact that our DNA is immortal. It's a liquid crystal that does not die when we die. Of course, this is the knowledge of the shaman, and this is where shamanism comes into this. The folks that work with plants, like ayahuasca in Brazil, for example, those shamans will tell you this, that what they're dealing with is DNA.
I know we had Graham on the show. He had tried some of the ayahuasca tea and reported some interesting experiences. In any event, I'm curious what your friend said to you at the time.
Well, there was no vocal sound, but it was somewhere from deep within his mind or self and myself. It was a telepathic communication, but it was more than just, thoughts. It was feelings. It was energy. It was alive and a vibrant experience, one that, like I say, shocks you to your core. But what the basic message that I got that morning was that he was fine. He had come back to acknowledge that he had heard me speak when I was, this is comical, but it's the truth. When I went to the funeral home in November 1987 and walked to the front of the funeral home to view the casket, I looked down in the casket and saw my friend in a very nice three-piece suit, like I was normally used to seeing him. And in my mind, because there was a lot of people there, and his parents had just come up from Louisiana, from Plaquemine, Louisiana, to for this funeral. So it was, again, a very highly emotionally charged environment. But in my mind, I said to George, I said, okay, buddy, a joke's a joke. Let's go get a beer. And I was trying to break the tension, for myself, but I didn't think any more of it. It was just kind of an off-hand and maybe off-color thing to do, but I did it. But 6 months later, when I saw George, he came to me in this holographic projection, and he had a Hawaiian luau shirt on. And here's the thing, guys, that really blew my mind at the time. In this beachcomber hat he was wearing, a white hat, in the headband, there was a flattened row, like you take metal beer cans and flatten them on the pavement, and he had them tucked real neatly into this headband. And, I didn't get it. I thought, this is just bizarre. I mean, this is just too much. But a year later, and that's when I began the process that led to my book, a year later I was sitting contemplating this experience, and I did, every single day for up to that point. I could not shake this tremendous shock to my system. And I realized and recollected what I had said to George in my mind. So when he came back to me, he was communicating symbolically that he had heard my little off-color comment to him when he was laying there in that casket, because he wasn't laying there in that casket. He was no doubt standing beside me.
You see these shows where some of these other psychics talk to people that have passed away, and oftentimes there's a little piece of offbeat information that is given from the deceased to the living, so that the living will know that it's real, that there's some connection there. So that doesn't strike me as too unusual that you would get that kind of cue. But what an experience. So I'm curious then, how exactly did that change your outlook and the way you, your work pattern? Did you immediately start to read books on this subject or what?
That's exactly what I started to do. Being, very left brain, I said, okay, Lou, we got to start with a literature search, and that's what I did. Every waking hour that was not physically present at my work site with the Navy, I was in a library. This was before internet days and before emails, late 80s, and so I literally, I traveled heavily back in those years with the government, so I mean, I might find myself in New York City or Atlanta, Georgia, or Los Angeles, or Seattle, and everywhere in between. So I would go to big libraries, small libraries, mainly the university campuses, And I would go in there and just sit for hours. I mean, I would be there until it closed, you know, day after day after day, week after week, month after month. And I did this for years.
And what was your main subject that you were focusing on?
I was looking at the physics of light because George was an optics physicist. And it came to me, you know, this guy knew what was going on real quickly after he, quote, died. When he found himself in this other body, this energy body, this astral body, if you will, he knew intuitively. He said, oh, this is light. This is the physics of light. I'm experiencing that. And when I got that through my thick head, I started going into looking at all aspects of the Einstein theory, theory of relativity, looking at quantum physics as it started to emerge, you know, back in the late 80s. And there was just a few books that you might call them metaphysical, where someone like Fred Allen Wolf would, you know, educate us, or Deepak Chopra, for example. But this was, you know, right in that era. So I was right on the cutting cutting line before all this came out. So I really had to do the same kind of work that they did. And as I saw these books come out, I'd read them, and I'd get more and more insight to the experience I had. Then I married physics of light with shamanism because I knew I had the experience, and I said, wait a minute, there's others out there. You know, anthropologists talk about the shamans and that type of thing. And then there was folks coming out with near-death experiences back in this late 80s, early 90s time frame. So again, I started looking at all these various disciplines, and I started going through them over and over, reading everything I could. Finally, I put a basic model, you might say, together that satisfied me at some level that I did have a scientific viewpoint now that I could share. And again, it has to do with DNA.
Hmm. And I'm just curious, have you talked to your friend since, or was it just sort of a one-time experience?
It was a one-time experience. I've been asked this question before, you know, and the first time that someone asked me this was years after experience. And I'll be quite honest with you, Walter, and Jeff, I never even thought about setting up a situation to contact him again. I mean, it never entered into my mind. I was so consumed with looking at the physics of this, I call it the science of soul now, or the physics of metaphysics, and I was so consumed. Again, I'm a family man. I had three younger children at that time. Now I've got eight grandchildren, et cetera. So I've got a big family. So you can imagine there's not a lot of time on average to start thinking along that line. I was consumed by the research, and that's where I went with it.
Right. Well, at least not consciously, because I know you've studied hypnotherapy. So what's driving that particular interest there?
Well, when I realized that I was in an altered state of consciousness that morning, this lucid dream or hypnagogic, hypnopompic state, as it's technically called by psychologists, I started thinking about, now, how am I going to alter my consciousness? I want to get back into that state of consciousness that I was in, because there was information flowing to me. I was dipped in this great big well of information, you might say. And so I wanted to find ways to get back in there. And I said, I've never taken a drug. I held a top secret military clearance. I would never jeopardize my livelihood and my family's well-being by using these compounds. So I studied some of that, and I said, well, wait a minute. Hypnotherapists have claimed, at least, that you can get into this altered state of mind where you can talk to the dead, you can have telepathic communication, on and on. And so I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find the very best person to learn from. And that fellow was in Seattle at the time. He's since passed on to the other side. But I studied with him for several months in Seattle. And then I also took years of training through a school called American Institute of Hypnotherapy. In fact, that's where I made contact with cell biologist Dr. Bruce Lipton, if you know Dr. Lipton. Yeah. They're formerly at Stanford University School of Medicine and just a marvelous individual to interview. If you haven't done so yet. But when I got with Dr. Lipton, that's when things changed, because here was a guy with the best credentials. He'd been teaching medical school in the Caribbean, University of Wisconsin, before he went to Stanford. And the guy was talking about the immortality of DNA, and he was talking the hard science, and he was doing it in a slide presentation that he was taking around the country and still is. And so I brought him to Seattle and Spokane area, and have since sat at his lectures a couple more times just to absorb this monumental breakthrough of insight into DNA. So anyway, that's how it all came about. I started marrying all these different ideas and practical techniques to alter my consciousness, which I can do now at will, to get more and more insights. So it really is just kind of a steeped up intuition, if you will. I don't want to get too dramatic about this. We all have this ability. We all do it. We just don't really, I don't think we cultivate it enough.
I see. You know, I did read the very nice foreword that Bruce Lipton wrote in your book, where he said we're masters of our fate. And I guess it's from his work that you got some of the ideas on DNA. And I know he's a very credible scientist. Just curious, you know, how that that idea evolved, and how do you see nature?
Well, what I did, Walter, was I began to kind of like set up a flow chart, an algorithm, if you will, like we do in computer science and engineering. And, you know, I started connecting the dots, if you will, and I realized that I needed to find out more about DNA. So I started doing literature searches, and I found more and more confirmation of this idea that DNA is a liquid crystal and that it is immortal. Now, here's an interesting idea just for all of us to think about for a moment. You know, Dr. Jeremy Narby, who wrote the book The Cosmic Serpent, DNA and the Origins of Knowledge, are you familiar with Dr. Narby's work?
I'm not, but we're going to have to take a break here pretty soon. So if you could hold that thought, we will be right back. I am Walter Cruttenden with Jeff Pitino and our special guest, John J. Harper, and we are talking about his book, Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with co-host Jeff Pitino, and we are talking with special guest today, Dr. John J. Harper. John, right before the break, you had mentioned Dr. Narby, who is certainly a credible anthropologist from Stanford. Tell us exactly what the experience there was.
Well, Dr. Narby was a young PhD student at Stanford studying anthropology, and he wanted to get some real-life experience with shamans in Brazil to make his PhD, he said, more of a practical tool. to use in studying cultures. So he went to the Amazon and befriended a lot of different communities there, and eventually was introduced to some real shamans who were, you know, busy healing folks and foretelling the future and et cetera. So he was invited to take part in an ayahuasca ceremony. This ayahuasca, as some of us know, is this tea. It's heavily laced with DMT, that's dimethyltryptamine, but that DMT is an active component, I should say, an endogenous substance, something that our brain makes itself, and that's the pineal gland. There's been good research done at the University of New Mexico on this now, but not to digress, Dr. Narby participated in a couple of these ceremonies, and what he knew, because he had this knowledge of science with him, he saw that DNA was a living organism, that when he went into the trance state of the shaman, that what he was doing is basically seeing ropes and vines and twisted helixes and everything, and he realized that this was DNA, and his consciousness was following the loops, you might say, going into the programs, into the software, if you will, of DNA, and he was retracing history, anthropology, etc., through these strands of DNA. And he realized when he was talking to an animal, if he's talking to a plant or a tree, that nature was minded. That's his exact breakthrough. He said, when I realized that DNA is what we're talking to and what's talking through us, he said it changed his life forever. And he wrote the book, The Cosmic Serpent, because of those experiences. And he lays out in this book the ideas that, you know, really validate, if you will, what I'm talking about. And there's many, many other sources now for this type of knowledge. And I'll just briefly say this. The other one that I really respect is Dr. Rick Strassman, M.D., at the University of New Mexico, psychiatrist, School of Medicine, who did studies with DMT, and he wrote this beautiful book called DMT, The Spirit Molecule. Again, the work confirms that we're dealing with DNA.
That is very cool. That I think, especially with DMT, it really has shown to bring out a lot of different aspects of people and spirituality. Even Graham Hancock mentioned that.
Right, and I just want to say we're not promoting drugs or anything.
That's right. You can get into these states without drugs. That's one of the messages of my book as well, Walter and Jeff.
Right, but it's interesting that it seems three or four are pretty top scientists, and of course, explorer author Graham Hancock have experimented with the tea, ayahuasca tea, which has this. I guess that's partially where DMT comes from.
What I find really interesting is what you mentioned, that the connectedness that seemed to imply with nature, that that DNA connects us all, and that we are all interacting with each other, whether we're conscious of it or not. Is that one of the
aspects? Absolutely. In fact, Fritz Albert Popp, another very distinguished scientist, biologist in Germany, has concluded basically that consciousness is the communication of the electromagnetic field between DNA molecules. Now, here's an interesting thing to contemplate with respect to binary star theory, and Walter and your good work there at the Institute. If you realize, as I have from interviews with people who have had near-death experiences and have gone off the planet during their near-death experience, they have told me personally, when I've interviewed them, that they saw that what was happening as they died from either trauma or disease, and then, of course, they came back to share their story, so they had a spontaneous remission. But as they got out of the body, they would see the energy leave the physical body and download, if you will, into another body that was now them. They bifurcated, as one fellow told me, Reverend Howard Storm, who was an art professor, an atheist, before he had this experience. Then he went on to seminary, became a minister, but that's a whole different story. But a lot of these folks have now taken this knowledge and are using it in practical terms. One fellow who had a 90-minute death experience and then spontaneously revived has now 6 U.S. patents, some of those dealing with healing and DNA light work. Physics. So, again, there's a practical side, and I want to emphasize that over and over. Not just talking metaphysics, we're talking physics. And if I wanted to boil it all down for us, I would say there's really no difference. Once you understand DNA as a liquid crystal, spiritual and physical now melt into one truth.
You know, I'm having a tough time with the DNA as a liquid crystal concept.
There's great references in my book to that. Anyone that takes the time to look into this, and I put the references right there in the, because I know this is going to be a stumbling block for most of us. It was for me. There's good research out there, guys. I'm telling you the truth. Annotated bibliographies, the whole bit. I mean, there's a scientist, she's now in London, in fact, teaches at the Open University. She came out of China, Dr. Wu, and you'll see her book, I think it's called The Rainbow and the Worm. What an interesting book title. But it's a very well-written, solid academic approach to this idea that DNA is a liquid crystal. I mean, it's proven. This is not even speculation. This is a definition now of DNA. It's a liquid crystal.
Well, I look forward to finishing your book and talking more to you about that. No doubt, you know, there's more subtle layers to what we are, to what the universe is. People, both psychologists, spiritualists, people from all walks of life talk about this, and it seems like it's a hot topic now in these conferences that we're putting on and other ones that we're going to. There's just a lot of people asking, what are we, where do we come from, where are we going? And
you know, one of the things that really startled me recently was when I really started contemplating the impact of this knowledge upon the population. And here's the key theme, I guess, that really got me thinking one time. I realized that DNA cannot be seen by the naked eye. And, you know, have to look at it through an electron microscope, of course. Now, isn't this interesting that we are created in the physical body through a DNA, RNA, protein synthesis process that builds the physical structure of our cells by a piece of software that is not visible by the physical eyes that supposedly it constructed? You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like the DNA is a projection from a higher dimensional realm, a fifth dimension. In physics, that's light. The realm of light is the fifth dimension.
Well, we have to take another break, but we will get more into that as soon as we come back. This is Jeff Pitino with Walter Crutton, and you're listening to The Cosmic Influence.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crutton is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crutton's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
MyRegion.net is the largest healing arts directory on the web. Our visitors are looking for holistic practitioners, schools, events, healing services, and products. Are you in healing arts? Become a member of MyRegion.net and get the best advertising values. You can increase your client base and your traffic. If you have a website, we can bring you more traffic. Want a website? Get a beautiful web display for only $4 a month. Become a member now. Mention HealthyLife.net and get 6 months free. Visit www.MyRegion.net or call 828-232-0016.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with co-host Jeff Pitino, and we are talking with our special guest today, John J. Harper. John is the author of the book Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. John, welcome back.
Thank you.
So we were just talking about this analogy, I guess, to software or a higher dimension. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Well, yeah, one of the things that really piqued my interest and kept me going back in the early years is when I understood a little bit more about the physics of light. And when I realized that some of the great scientists in the world were talking about a fifth-dimensional layer that was the source, you might call it the zero-point field now we talk in physics about the fact that the vacuum of space is not empty, it's full. It's full of energy and information and light, at least in potential. So when I realized that, and then I recollected my experience with my friend George Begay, knowing that he was an optics physicist, I started getting this, you know, connecting dots at a very deep level. And then when I saw DNA was classified as a liquid crystal now by some of the top researchers in the field, and I realized that from Dr. Popp in Germany that communication was going on through the light frequency, electromagnetic light frequency, from DNA molecule to DNA molecule, not only in our body now, but outside the body. Now, here's another very important insight. When Francis Crick and James Watson back in the 50s came up with the DNA discovery, one of the theories put forth then was a theory called directed panspermia, which meant, in real simple terms, that DNA did not originate here on this planet, that our DNA actually came from space, from deep within space. Now, if that's true, and there's a lot of good science out there, again, that's confirming that this is a real possibility, we're finding that bacteria and other living things that has DNA in it has survived from a trip out, say, in our solar system and back. We found, you know, these molecules back on the equipment when they've returned here.
I know. It used to be an absurd idea that Earth could have been, that life on Earth could have started from anything in outer space, and now more and more scientists are, you know, checking out every asteroid that drops and it's getting more and more into the consciousness.
And you know, that's one of the interesting things. It always seems to be the absurd ideas that start out that end up becoming the mainstream. I mean, even if we look at the idea of plate tectonics or the Big Bang or the existence of black holes, going even back way into history, a heliocentric system at one point was considered an absolutely absurd idea, yet it's always these new ideas that really have a lot of credence.
Yeah, you know, there's a classic saying, you know, one of the early quantum physics scientists said, you know, this idea about quantum physics, you know, and it's here and it's not here, and, you know, an action at a distance and all this spooky stuff going on with quantum physics. He said, this is a crazy idea, but is it crazy enough to be true?
Well, it's
been, and I agree.
It's been found to be pretty darn true.
Yeah, I would say so.
Matter of fact, that's one of the big conundrums with science today. Things that happen at the quantum level don't seem to correspond to things that are happening on the big level where you and I are right now.
Exactly. And that's, of course, I think because consciousness is that unknown part of the equation.
John, I know in your book you talk a bit about cycles of ages and ancient beliefs in that, and that you give a lot of credence to the calculations of the cycles of Egyptian and Mayan astronomers. How does this ancient wisdom figure into the Earth changes that we see happening and figure into this idea that we are all connected and that there is some sort of greater cycle?
Well, again, when I started interviewing folks who had near-death experiences, I started collecting the common themes that were running through these stories. I mean, a lot of these stories, of course, they're colored by, as a scientist we would say, the data is tainted by the observer. In other words, I knew that some of this was very personal information about their family, about their certain relationships, etc. But then I, for some reason, started talking to them about, you know, the future. And I started seeing a common element of was Earth changes. And then someone would tell me about that this is old knowledge, this is ancient understanding. And I said, from where? Someone told me one day, from Egypt. And I went, click, okay, I better look into Egyptian mythology.
Just give us a real quick background there. So as a hypnotherapist, how long have you been doing this? How many people have you taken back and asked these types of questions?
Well, I started back studying hypnotherapy and then practicing it on the side back in the late 1980s. And I retired from the Defense Department in 1993. So I've been on my own pretty much. I did 1 year as a vice principal of my old high school just to, you know, clear the cobwebs out. But other than that, I've been doing this full time, basically, you might say, the research and working with select individuals since that time. So well over a decade now.
Okay. And so when you take these individuals back, you're exploring their near-death experiences and similar phenomena. And you're asking them about the future, and they're telling you about big changes are coming, and many of them, how do they relate this to the past again?
Well, one of the things that I started looking at was all the sacred sites around the world, like so many other scholars are doing. And I started, you know, doing the math, so to speak, the geometry is what it really is about. And the phi ratio kept coming out over and over again. And I realized, again, that was a DNA link. That's the spiral, that one, you know, that ratio, 1:6.618
right.
By ratio is also built into the pyramid, built into Stonehenge, built into many cathedrals in France, etc. And I realized that I was really on to something. I was on a trail of knowledge that was being traced now back to prehistory, if you will. And I realized that the ancients were trying to tell us the same thing that the near-death experiences were in this way. That, number one, there was a state of consciousness that one could get into and retrieve the workings of the cosmos. In other words, you could understand these cycles and relationships and how nature was going to change. Of course, the role of the shaman has always been, you know, to move his or her village, say, over the next mountain ridge because the hunting was going to be better, or there was a big storm coming, or there was something, you know, they would look at nature and see the animals flee, for example, before maybe a volcano erupted or before a hurricane came on the coastline. But here's the important thing from my standpoint. We just need to prepare for these changes. You know, yesterday we had approximately an 8.0 magnitude great quake in the South Sea Islands again.
Yes, down in Tonga. I read about that.
And this is going, in my opinion, this is going to become more and more frequent. And here's why. I believe, as does John Major Jenkins, my good friend and yours too, with his work on 2012 alignment, I really see the wisdom in this date honor about 2012. I don't want to, you know, I'm not fanatical about it, but it's a good ballpark year to start talking about what is going on.
Okay, like, well, we're going to have to hold that thought on 2012, and we'll get back to it when we get back from our break. You're listening to Cosmic Influence.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Hi, and welcome back to The Cosmic Influence with Walter Cruttenden. I'm Walter's co-host, Jeff Patino. Today we're talking with Dr. John J. Harper. If at any point you'd like more information on the topics we discuss in the show, please visit our website, loststarbook.com. And John, you've got a website, I believe, as well.
Yes, johnjharper.com. That's my full name, johnjayharper.com. And for those who are in Canada or the USA listening to us, you can also order the book toll-free, 1-866-585-1355.
And once again, the name of the book is Transformers, Shaman of the 21st Century. John, right before the break, you had touched on Earth changes and 2012. Tell us your take on this. We're hearing an awful lot about it right now.
Well, one of the ideas that came to me a few years ago was through the, about 2012, was through the work of the late Terence McKenna. Terence McKenna was a very controversial fellow who had many, many experiences with DMT, with dimethyltryptamine, mushrooms, and et cetera. And out of all these years of experimenting with these hallucinogens, he too realized that DNA was what he was basically experiencing through. And he also came up with an idea called time wave zero. Again, a very controversial mathematical model, but nonetheless, he came to a conclusion that 2012 was a focal year for a lot of major things to build up to, and that would be like the focal point. Then after 2012, things would get very, very good for us, that information would flow more freely through us, and that new technologies would come about to help clean the planet up, etc. Now,
well, we're certainly familiar with work of John Major Jenkins on 2012.
Yes, and John, when, in my conversations years ago with John Major Jenkins, we came into this common theme of that he too told me that the shamans was the carrier of this knowledge. That he knew personally from his own, you know, very in-depth research on 2012 alignment, the Mayan calendar, etc., that the shamans were the wisdom keepers of this knowledge. And so anyway, we had, you know, back in those years, we had some interesting conversations about this topic. But I see more and more the fact that 2012 is an important date, not because they knew the end date, but because their beginning time, their beginning date or time zero was correct. In other words, there was a major something that happened that basically just like hitting the master reset button in their civilization. And when they saw that and came through it, obviously they survived it because they documented in these calendars and pyramids, etc., they had the beginning of a new cycle. And so they could see where the end point was. And I think a lot of people misunderstand that. They think 2012 is some loose jello-like concept. It's not if you really have the time zero to begin your reference.
Well, we're all going to find out for sure in about 6 years, I guess.
I think we're experiencing it right now. I would say what I've been going through, and so many of us, in terms of personal changes and vocational interests, et cetera, and having this conversation here today with you folks, is you know, this is part of this 2012 cycle that we're coming to more and more understand where we have been so we can see where we're going.
And in talking to John before about 2012, I recall that he had mentioned that there was some, like, a transitional period that we could be in at this time, and that's very similar to the Hindu idea of the yugas, where there's actually a transitional period between the yugas as well.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that.
Right. And they were quite specific about it being the lowest age being a very material age when mankind is only aware of himself as a physical body and the earth as a physical environment with no knowledge of subtle forces or finer particles. And then supposedly in this transition to the next age, man is supposed to become aware of finer forces, and indeed, you know, a few hundred years ago, we start to discover electricity, magnetism, more recently realizing that everything is made out of molecules, and molecules are made out of atoms, the atoms are made out of protons, neutrons, electrons, and the more we look, the more ethereal things seem to be. It's really made out of energy, and that, you know, it's almost like the quantum physicists are leading the charge in discovering this new world that we're coming into, and so perhaps part of this whole 2012 change is not so much a very specific date, although I'd be very curious to see, but the dawning of a greater awareness, a greater consciousness.
Yeah, in fact, as I see it now, it's really kind of, you might say, the unwinding of the library of DNA, this twisted strand of books of knowledge, if you will, is unwinding, is opening up to us. And so I see that as information flows through us, we absolutely provide the catalyst for ourselves to wake up to this knowledge. That's why I wrote my book, in fact, and in the way that I did. You know, some folks have critiqued it and said, John, it's okay, but, you know, it's like taking a drink of water from a fire hydrant.
I agree. There's a lot of information in there.
And, you know, I wrote it many different ways and published it in about five different formats. And the one that's in it today, I'm pleased with. I'm getting a fairly good response from. But I realized back then folks were not even aware of the questions that I was asking, let alone prepared to accept some of the answers or some of the musings that I offer. So I see that DNA, again, comes back to this. And so what 2012 is about to me is the opening of the book of life, you know, to put it real simply.
Well, your book, there is a lot of information, like you say, but I think it's a very readable style, so I'm enjoying it.
Great.
Yeah. Well, we have to wrap up this segment. John, why don't you give out your website and the way to order your book one more time for us before we go to our final break.
Okay. I appreciate folks coming by and looking at all the free stuff that's at my website, too, the articles. It's at johnjharper.com, johnjayharper.com. For those who would like to order the book toll-free, 1-866-585-1355.
Great. Well, thank you, John, for being on the program with us today.
And, my pleasure.
And it's been great having you. This is Jeff Pitino. I'm with Walter Crunden. If at any point you'd like more information on the topics we've discussed or Walter's book, Lost Star of Myth and Time, visit us at loststarbook.com, or you can check out thegreatyear.com, where we have our film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones.
John, thanks again for being on the show, and I'll talk to you after the show.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Super. This is Cosmic Influence with Walter Crunden and Jeff Pitino, and we'll be right back.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crutenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crutenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. My name is Walter Cruttenden, here with co-host Jeff Pitino, and we had our special guest John J. Harper on today. Next episode, we will be having another author-scientist. His name is Dr. John Burke. He wrote the book Seed of Knowledge, Stone of Plenty. I mentioned him briefly at the beginning of the program, but he has basically gone around to about 80 different megalithic sites, Mayan pyramids, Stonehenge, Avebury, etc., and taken readings with a magnetometer and electrostatic voltmeter, and found that they tend to mark magnetic anomalies, and also found that if seeds are taken to the tops of the Mayan pyramids, that they actually can propagate better. They get an electrostatic charge. So that's just barely touches on his work, but he's a fascinating guest, and I think where it's all going is he's finding out that our ancient ancestors were a lot brighter than we now generally believe they were. So once again, you've been listening to Cosmic Influence, and if you'd like more information, Jeff, can you give those websites one more time?
Sure. If you'd like more information, just visit us at loststarbook.com, or if you want to go to the Binary Research Institute's website specifically, that's binaryresearchinstitute.org. I'm Jeff Pitino with Walter Cruttenden, and you've been listening to The Cosmic Influence.
And until our next show, bring on the higher ages.